house of God here in Livingston. But those of us who are joining online, we pray that this message will bless you. This is a time to reflect on the past, particularly the last year, but also to prepare for the future. We are in January here in 2021, and the promise of God is that He will carry us. God will carry us through. So this morning I want to share a message. God will carry you. Amen. Isaiah 46 verse 4 says that so clearly, that even to your old age, God is going to carry you. Every year we can turn the calendar, we can turn our planners, our diaries, and all of that that we use, you know, as the year turns, and we realize that God is faithful. He remains faithful from the beginning of the year to the end. God is still faithful. No matter what happens, He is our help and He is our hope. Amen. Our help and our hope is only God. And these are days where we must realize that. You know, I've often realized that there are times in our lives God brings us to a place where we struggle. God brings us to a place where we wonder what's happening around us. I am reminded of the time where, you know, in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 12, King Jehoshaphat was in a situation where, you know, he makes this prayer and he says this: "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Yeah. And I remind myself, there are many times God boxes us, you know, He kind of boxes us, He puts us in a corner. God brings us to a place where we realize that we are helpless. Where our governments fail us, you know, our bank balances may fail us, jobs may fail, the economy may fail, friends, family may fail, people that we thought would be helpful may not help. We come to that place of being totally helpless. I don't know whether you're there right now. You've been there, you know, particularly in the last year. For many of us, we realize that we come to a place where we say, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You know, and we look to God. And that's a good place to be in. And we're going to look to that, you know, about that this morning. You know, I realize that there are those times where some of our prayers don't work, as it were. You know, where sometimes it's not just enough to pray fancy prayers. You know, sometimes King James Version prayers, or long prayers, polished prayers. We can use high sounding words and phrases. But there are times when that doesn't just work. Man, all we can just say is a weak, feeble cry from our lips, a simple prayer, where we just look to God and say, "Help." But that's one of the most powerful prayers. Because when we come to God in reckless abandonment and we say, "God, I'm trusting in nothing and no one except you." And that's where we acknowledge that we are helpless. And we need God's help. We need God's help. You know, and we need God's help not just today, but into the future. Like the hymn writer who said, "Oh God, our help in ages past is also our hope for years to come." Mm-hmm. So he, you know, we can look back at the past, we can look back at 2020, and we say, "God, you've been our help, you know, last year. You've been our help in ages past." But as we look to 2021, as we look beyond into the future, we say, "God, you are our hope for the years to come." So God, who's our help, is also our hope. You know, if you have a Bible, you know, just turn with me to Psalm 124 and verses 1 to 8. Talks about how God is our help. And let me read it for us today. Psalm 124, beautiful passage of scripture, you know, with the title, "Our help is in the name of the Lord." And I want us to keep that thought through this time together. It says in verse 1, it's a song of ascents of David: "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Well, we have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped." Then verse 8, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." You know, I know that's kind of a refrain from, you know, Psalm 121,
where, you know, the psalmist declares, "My help comes from the Lord." And so he's just repeating that. Particularly if you look at verse 2 of Psalm 121, it says, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And then you look at verse 8 of Psalm 124, it says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." And so kind of a repetition there, but you know, it's done in purpose. Look at verse, you know, one down in Psalm 121. "I lift up my eyes to the hills." Lifting up my eyes, it's the same picture of what Jehoshaphat says. "I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you." We lift up our eyes. Our vision is to the throne in heaven. You know, because we know that no matter what happens in the world today, no matter what happens in the economy, no matter what happens with governments and nations, you know, with all the politics that goes on, we know there is a throne in heaven. Our eyes are not on the news. Our eyes are not on, you know, things that are happening around us. Our eyes are on you, God. Yes. And so the psalmist says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills." Yes. You know, the Jerusalem was surrounded by hills. And says, "From where does my help come from? Does my help come from the hills? Does my help come from the mountains around me?" The mountains may be huge and big, you know, and sometimes that can be representative of, you know, maybe a big corporation, maybe a rich person, something big, something mighty, something that can look overwhelmingly big. And we sometimes put our, you know, our eyes on those things. And so the psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the hills. I'm looking at, you know, what's surrounding me. I'm looking at the big things around me. But where does my help come from? My help doesn't come from the hills. He says in verse 2, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." I like that. David is saying, I'm looking up to God. If I look to the hills, you know, I may think that my help comes from there. But my help doesn't come from the hills. My help comes from the maker of not just those hills, but from the maker of heaven and earth. Then he goes on to say, "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper." I want to remind you this morning, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Amen. "The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." At least six times in that psalm, that word "keep" is there. God reminding us that He is our keeper. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can cry to God and say, "Lord, you are my help." Sometimes you may not feel like praying, but if you can just look to God and say, "God, help," because you're acknowledging that our help is in the name of the Lord. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, "He's a very present help in time of trouble." He's a very present help because He's the great I Am. Not just God who, you know, who was, or God who will be, but He's God who is. Amen. He is the great I Am. He is a very present help. That means right now, in this moment, whatever you're going through, God's got it. And He will carry you through this season. He will carry you through this problem. He will carry you through this storm. He will carry you through this battle. He will carry you through this circumstance. He will carry you through this condition, whatever you're in. He will carry you through this problem. He will carry you through this situation that you are in right now. Because the psalmist realizes that his eyes and his help is on the Lord. His eyes is on the Lord, and his help does not come from the hills or the mountains, but from the one who made heaven and earth. He is the maker, the creator of heaven and earth. And He's got you and me in the palm of His hand. My brother, my sister, God's got you in the palm of His hand. So you can look back at your life and see how the Lord sustained you. It'll encourage you today. It'll encourage you as you begin this new year with a lot of uncertainty in the air. We don't know what's going to happen. But when you look back at your life and you've seen how the Lord has helped you, you can say like the psalmist and declare and say, "If it had not been the Lord, if it had not been the Lord, we would not have survived 2020. If it had not been the Lord," think about it. "If it had not been the Lord, we would have been aborted and never lived to see the light of the day. If it had not been the Lord, we would have died in an accident and never lived to tell our tale. If it had not been the Lord, we would have been in the ICU right now, struggling for breath and air, fighting for life." There are, just heard the news in Brazil, they're running out of oxygen. Can you imagine those basic things of life, struggling for those things? If it had not been for the Lord. And there are many who are right now struggling, fighting for life. But think about your own life. Thank God you are not in a place like that. If it had not been the Lord, we would have lived miserable lives, addicted to all that the world has to offer. If it had not been the Lord, we would have backslid and gone after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If it had not been the Lord, we would have drowned in the waters. We would have scorched in the fires. We would have died in our battles. We would have gone with the wind. Think about it. If it had not been the Lord. God has been faithful in your life, in my life. God is faithful. And remember this, God is for you. We just sang that song. God is for you. He's for you. And I want to underline that in your heart, in your spirit. Let the Spirit of God underline that. God is for you. There are many times when things happen, we feel as if God is against us and God is judging us and punishing us. I want you to know that no matter what you're going through, God's on your side. And that's good news. God is on your side. He is on your side. That's what the psalmist says, verse 2, Psalm 124. It says that if it had not been the Lord, who was on our side? You're on the side of God.
Yeah.
Whose side are you? You're on the side of God. I'm on the side of God. And God is on our side. And it depends whose side we are in. In any battle, in any encounter, it depends on whose side you are in. When you have God on your side, somebody said, 1 + God is a majority.
Yeah.
1 + God is a majority. You are in the majority because God, the maker of heaven and earth, the creator and sustainer of the whole universe, is on your side. Amen. Hallelujah. So remember, God is for you. He is on your side. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah.
Think about that. If God be for us, who can be against us? I like a writer, a preacher, a pastor, Max Lucado in America. He said this, and I picked this up many years ago. And it encouraged me so much, and I want to share this. He took these 10 little words. He said, it's like a 10-finger exercise. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? We can, lift our fingers up, 10 fingers, and we can say that. If God be for us, who can be against us? See, that's really all you need to know. And while it sounds simple, there's a profound message contained within those 10 words. God is for us. Think about that.
Yes.
Chew on that a little bit. God is for us.
Yes.
God is for you.
Praise you. Thank
your parents may have forgotten you. Your teachers may have neglected you. Your siblings may be ashamed of you. But within the reach of your prayers is the maker of the oceans, God. God is for you. Not maybe, not has been, not was, not would be, but God is. He is for you today, at this hour, at this very minute. No need to wait in line or come back tomorrow. He is with you. He could not be closer than He is at this very second. His loyalty won't increase if you are better, no lessen if you are worse. He is for you. Think about that. God is for you. Turn to the sidelines, that's God cheering you run. Look past the finish line, that's God, applauding your steps. Look for Him in the bleachers, shouting your name. You're too tired to continue, He'll carry you. God will carry you. Too discouraged to fight, He's picking you up. God is for you. Amen. And then He says, God is for you. For you, that's right, for you. Had He a calendar, your birthday would be circled. If He drove a car, your name would be on His bumper. If there's a tree in heaven, He'd carve your name in the bark. We know God has a tattoo. We know what it says. I have inscribed, written your name, carved your name on my hand, God declares in Isaiah 49 verse 16. Isn't that wonderful? God's got your name. So I believe, when God looks at His hand, He sees your name and my name inscribed in the palm of His hand. That's how special you are. Think about that. Isaiah 49:15 says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? What a bizarre question. Can you mothers imagine feeling your infant and then later, you feed your infant later asking, what was that baby's name? No, I haven't. I've seen you care for your young. You stroke the hair. You touch the face. You sing the name over and over. Can a mother forget? The Bible asks that. Can a mother forget? No way. But the answer is yes. But even if she could forget, God says, I will not forget you. God pledges in Isaiah 49 verse 15. I will not forget you. That's how special you are. That's why I can say God is for you. Knowing that, who is against you? If God is for you, who is against you?
Yes.
You may be thinking you're caved in, you're cornered. You don't know what to do. And like Jehoshaphat, you can say, God, I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. But my eyes are on you. We look to you. Like the Israelites who were there with the mountain surrounding, the Red Sea in front, the Egyptians behind. They don't know what to do. But they had a way prepared by God because God was with them. And that same God is with you. God is for you. God is for you. Knowing that, who is against you? Can death harm you now? Can a virus take you down? Can disease rob your life? Can your purpose be taken or your value diminished? No way. Though hell may set itself against you, no one can defeat you. You are protected.
Yes.
God is for you. You're protected from the virus that is spreading. You're protected from every evil. You're protected from every attack of the enemy. God holds you in the palm of his hands. You are safe, my brother. You are safe and protected by Almighty God. And I want that to be an encouragement to you. God is for you. That happens when you acknowledge God as your helper. Amen. There are times when we fall for the traps of the enemy. There are many traps that the enemy will place. Think about it. The enemy has more than 6,000 years of experience. He was there even before the world was created. So he knows humankind. He knows the weaknesses of man. He knows how to trap.
Yeah.
And so we read this in Psalm 124. If you see verse 6 to 7, it says, blessed be the God who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. That trap is broken. And we have escaped. I help us in the name of the Lord. And I like that in the Message translation. The Message translation says this: oh, blessed be God. Mm-hmm. He didn't go off and leave us. He didn't just go away. He didn't take a walk and go away. He didn't abandon us, leaving us defenseless, helpless, like a rabbit in a pack of snarling dogs. We've flown free from their fangs, free of their traps, free as a bird. Their grip is broken. We are free as a bird in flight. Hallelujah. God has set us free. There were times when we fell as prey to the enemy. We fell in that trap. The fowler, the hunter, is a reference to the devil, to the enemy, our adversary, Satan himself. And he sets up traps and snares. But our hope and our help is in Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, particularly last year, there's a lot of online scams. There's a lot of things happening to trap people. To their snares, their nets kept to somehow trap you and take money of you, or somehow trick you into something. There are all these scams and hoaxes that are going on that are really, disheartening. But I want you to know that God saves you from every hidden trap and snare of the enemy, and he's promised to do that. Here's something about traps and snares, as we read that, this morning. I want you to know that every trap is custom designed. Every trap is custom designed. You are unique. And the trap for you is custom designed. That means it's specially made for you. The devil knows you. As much as we say God knows us, the devil also knows us. He knows our past. He knows our weaknesses. He knows where to hit, where it hurts. He knows our track record. He knows our history. He knows our geography. He knows our past. He knows our baggage that we carry. The devil knows us. Don't fool ourselves into thinking that, the devil doesn't know us. So he custom designs the trap. And so according to what matters to us, he sets a trap. And that's how even the police does that, right? The FBI or, the Scotland Yard, they set a trap. They listen to the conversations. They know, wait for the right time, get the proof, and then pounce. And that's what the enemy does, sets trap to wait at the right moment and to trap you and put you there. Their traps are different. According to the size and the nature of animals, traps are different. You don't use a rat trap, a mouse trap, to catch a bird. You don't use a fish bait to catch an elephant. For an elephant, it can be a huge hole dug in the middle of nowhere with some twigs and leaves covered. The trap is different according to the size and the nature of those animals. It's different from a rat trap or a mouse trap, from a bird net or from a fish bait. All of those traps are different custom designed for that particular individual. And I want you to know, brother, sister, the enemy has traps kept for you, custom designed. And it works. Never fool yourself. Nobody's exempt. That's what the Bible says. That you've got to be careful. Watch out. Be aware. You know the schemes of the enemy. Be aware of the schemes of the enemy. Beware means be aware. And God wants you to watch out. Nobody's exempt. Somebody said this. Remember, the best of man is man at best. The best of man is man at best. Sometimes we look at celebrity preachers falling. We sometimes look at, you know, big heroes of our faith making those mistakes and we wonder. But here's the truth. The best of man is man at best. There is an enemy out there to get us. There are traps kept. Number one, every trap is custom designed. Number two, every trap is invisible. Especially to the one that is being hunted. It's a hidden trap. It's a snare. It's a bait. You can be tripped into it because you didn't see it coming. It's hidden for you. But listen, sometimes it's not hidden for the others around you. And that's a good thing. Because it's invisible for you, but it's visible to others around you. You can't see it, but others can. And that's a good thing. You will realize only after you fall into the trap, but by the time it's too late, if you fall. And that's what the Bible says, two are better than one. The Bible repeats it again and again, two are better than one. We read that verse in Ecclesiastes. But look at it. In the Garden of Eden, God decided two are better than one. And so to Adam, God gives Eve. Marriage is a partnership where God gives that friendship and partnership, you know, to be better than being alone. And so two are better than one. You look at the ark, two by two, the animals get in. Disciples were sent for mission, two by two. It works. We need friends and partners in the ministry. We need colleagues at work in all that we do. When we do it two by two, it works. Because there are traps for the enemy. And the other person next to you can warn you and tell you before it is too late. There's an old African proverb. It says, if you want to travel fast, travel alone. But if you want to travel far, travel together. You want to travel fast? It's better to travel alone. But to travel far, to go the distance, we need to travel together. It's a choice.
Yeah.
In the ministry, don't be a lone ranger.
Yeah.
You know, in your Christian walk, don't walk alone. You don't have to walk alone. At a time where we feel isolated, at a time when we are under shutdown and lockdown and, you know, we can't even get out of the house, I don't want you to be lonely. I don't want you to be alone. Don't think that you are. Have a friend. Just make a phone call. Connect, you know, on a Zoom meeting. Connect with people and, you know, realize that we need each other, you know, in this journey of life and ministry together. So, every trap is custom designed. Every trap is invisible. But here's the last one. Every trap can be avoided and broken. Yeah, with a little bit of help. And if that help is from God, praise God. By God's help, you will have freedom and deliverance. God is your help and He's your hope. So don't stay trapped in toxic relationships. Don't stay trapped in vices and addictions. Don't stay trapped in bondages and shackles of the enemy. Because traps are temporary. They're not permanent. They're temporary. Don't settle till the hunter comes back for you. Don't just, you know, sit there waiting for the enemy to come and get you. You can escape. And God shows a way out. God always provides a way out. No matter what temptation, no matter what's bothering you, no matter what bad habit you need to drop off, no matter what addiction you're facing, God has a way out. He is a deliverer.
Yeah.
God is a deliverer. He came to set the captives free. The Bible says the reason why Jesus came was to set the captives free. You don't have to be bound. You don't have to be a captive to the enemy. You don't have to be trapped by the enemy. Traps are temporary. Remember, they're not permanent. Don't settle for the enemy to come and get you. God will show you the way out. How many of you have escaped snares of the enemy? How many of you want to be free? You can be free today. You can be free now.
Yes.
You can be an overcomer.
Yes.
Jesus overcame so that we can overcome too. And so don't, you know, forget this. Always remember, our help and our hope is in Jesus alone. He is the one who's helping us. He is the one who will help us. In the past He did, and He will continue to do that into the future. And He is our hope. When we feel hopeless, He is our hope. When we feel helpless, He is our help. When we feel hopeless, remember Colossians 1:27, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in us is the hope that we have. Our hope is not in riches or fame. Our hope is not in good health or wealth. Our hope is not in our jobs. Our hope is not in the economy. Our hope is not in a bank balance. Our hope is not in our governments. Our hope is not in vaccinations and masks. Our hope is in Jesus.
Amen.
Because only Jesus can protect
Amen.
Us. Only Jesus can deliver us. Only Jesus can save us. Only Jesus can heal us. Only Jesus can help us fulfill our destiny. Only Jesus can help us fulfill the life, that preordained life that God has given us. Only Jesus can help us with abundant life and eternal life.
Jesus.
So this morning I want you to know hope has a name. The name is Jesus.
Amen.
And so as much as you cry to God for help, remember that God is your hope. Our help and our hope is in Jesus alone. He will carry you through no matter what you're going through. Listen, if God can close the lion's mouth for Daniel, if he can part the Red Sea for Moses, if he can make the sun stand still for Joshua, if he can open the prison for Peter, if he can put a baby in the arms of old Sarah, if he can raise Lazarus from the dead, then he can certainly take care of you.
Yeah.
And God will carry you through. Nothing you are facing today is too hard for him to handle. Nothing is impossible for God. And you will see God will do something so supernatural that only God can. That only God can. That's why he must be your help and your hope. So believe that God will. He will turn your captivity. He will turn your losses. And everything that was broken will be restored in Jesus' name. What you lost in 2020, God can restore in 2021. I strongly believe if the year 2020 was a year of setback, God can make 2021 a year of a comeback.
Yes.
And you can come back.
Yes.
Because God gives greater grace and greater glory for you to do the greater works that he wants you to do. They that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. God wants you to do great exploits. No matter what's your situation and your condition, God wants to use you. And as we intercede, he intervenes. Because God is a game changer. He will change things around for you. He is a God of a turnaround. If God steps into a situation, he can turn some things around. If God steps into the middle of your need, he can turn some things around.
Yeah.
If God steps in the middle of your city, he can turn some things around. If God steps in the middle of your neighborhood, your locality, he can turn some things around. If God steps in the middle of your circumstances, your condition, God not only can, but will turn some things around. So never give up. Don't give up this morning. Don't give up wherever you're watching from. No matter what time zone you're in, never give up. God has not finished the story. God is still writing the next chapter of your life. Don't, you know, if the enemy has put a full stop, you can turn it into a comma and move on. You can move on because God's not through with you. And it's not over till God says it's over. It's not over till God says it's over. So my expectation and prayer is that God's going to accelerate some things in your city. God's going to accelerate some things in your nation. God's going to accelerate and amplify some things in your life, in your family, in your marriage, in your ministry, in your home, in the lives of your children. Because the blessing of God, that blessing that came through Abraham, passes down through generations. God is a generational God. He's a God of generational replenishment. The blessing is not just for you. It's for your children, your children's children, and their children. Generations down, you will see the blessing of God. You know, when he begins to move, let's believe that God can. Let's believe that God will. He will restore. Because nothing is impossible for God. And nothing is impossible for those who believe. Will you believe this morning?
Yes.
Will you believe wherever you are? As you're watching online, will you believe? Faith is believing.
Yes.
Not only that God will. Faith is believing that God will, not only that God can. It's easy to say God can because he is trustworthy, because he is faithful. But faith is believing that God will, not only that he can. God can because he's creator, he's sustainer. But do you believe that God will? God will turn your situation around? Do you believe that God can heal you? Do you believe that God can deliver you? Do you believe that God can set you free from that trap? Do you believe that God will carry you through this season into 2021 and beyond? God will carry you through. That's the promise that God, he will do it. Everything that has been lost, God will bring it back again. He's a God of restoration. He will do it double. The best is yet to come, and I want you to keep the faith. I'm going to close with this. You know, this verse in 1 Peter 5:10. It says this, that after you've suffered a little while, after you've suffered a little while, God himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. What a word. What a word of encouragement. for us. God will restore because He's the one who's carrying through. There's an old song which says He will carry you. There is no problem too big. God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall. He cannot move it. There is no storm too dark. God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep. He cannot soothe it. If He carried the weight of the whole world on His shoulders, I know my brother, I know my sister, He will carry you. God will carry you. If He carried the weight of the whole world, think about it. That's what He did at the cross. That's what Jesus did at the cross. He took the weight, the sin, the sickness, the curse, everything on Himself at the cross. And if He did that, He will carry you. And no matter what you're facing right now, He will carry you. Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, yes. I will give you rest.
Yes.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the promise of your word. We thank you that you're a good God. We thank you that your arms are strong to carry us.
Yes.
We may feel weak, feeble, helpless, hopeless. But Lord, you are strong. You are our help and you are our hope. Oh God, our help in ages past. Our hope for years to come. You will carry us through. Carry my brother, carry my sister through the season, through the storm, through this situation that we are in, Lord. All across the world. In some level, Lord, we are facing a dark time. But Lord, let the light of Jesus set us free. Help us to live lives that are free to honor you, to lift you up. So our eyes are on you, Lord. Raise up the name of Jesus in our lives and trust you into the future. We give you praise and honor. Bless every one of us, Lord. And those watching online, we pray a blessing. May this word take them to a new dimension. May this word touch some area of their lives. May this word set them free, because your word has power. We want to give you praise, give you thanks, Lord. Thank you for this moment. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.